Lawrence, there's dog poo on the bed. Ted's got fleas again. Hello and welcome back to my second episode of Multifaceted Mama. This has literally been my last week. It's been crazy because we've had a bit of a flea infestation. This is going completely off topic. I just thought I'd share it because if anyone has any tips on how to get rid of fleas, then please do message me because it's been an absolute nightmare and it's not what you need when you're pregnant and nauseous and yeah, all the rest of it. But anyhow, without further ado, I've always wanted to say that, never had the opportunity. Let's get cracking. Let's get stuck in. I have no idea where to start with this second episode because so much has happened in quite a small time frame. At the time of recording this, I'm currently 14 weeks and 3 or 4 days to be exact, which feels crazy because when I last recorded, I think I was 5 or 6 weeks. And I remember I wasn't feeling many symptoms. God, that's, looking back, that was amazing that time. I didn't have any symptoms and it was very, very early stages. We hadn't told anyone and now we've revealed to our friends, family and actually the whole of Instagram that we're having a baby. And I just find it quite funny because listening back to my first episode, I was talking about drinking coffee and if it was okay to do so. And I think I mentioned having one drink before I found out I was pregnant. And it was all of these things that kind of, yeah, first time mum and someone with no experience would talk about. And now I'm only obviously 14 weeks in, but I feel like I've consumed so much information and read so much because I've Googled and obviously asked so many people about what I'm experiencing because it has been so full on. I am going to like issue a bit of a trigger warning. I just want to say this is my experience so far. This doesn't mean that this will be every woman's experience. And if you are listening and you've not yet had a baby and never been pregnant, I don't want to scare you and I don't want to put you off because it is the most incredible thing. It's absolutely amazing. And I am really, really grateful because we conceived so quickly. And I know that lots of women and families struggle to conceive or have children at all. So I am really happy and I'm very grateful. But it doesn't take away the fact that when you're very nauseous, throwing up, really fatigued and not in a very good way, it's tough. And to be honest, I've listened to lots of podcasts and read loads of stuff online, but I don't feel that there is much awareness around what you can, like what you might experience and what you might feel, especially in your first trimester. And obviously it's the same with giving birth, isn't it? You go into labour, it's probably horrific for most people and quite traumatic because obviously you're pushing a baby out of your vagina. But you do forget about it. When that baby's here, you're not going to dwell on that, or most people don't. I know a few people that have actually said, I'm never having any more because of how bad it was, but that's like a minority. So yeah, I think it is the same as that really, in the sense that you kind of forget about it because you've got your baby and you don't dwell on stuff like that. But I think it is important because you're pregnant for quite a long time and some people do feel horrendous for the full duration. And I'm praying that that is not the case with me because, yeah, as I said, I'm 14 and a half weeks and I've only just really stopped feeling nauseous. I was last sick a few days ago. I know a lot of women suffer with hyperemesis gravidarum, I think I've pronounced it correctly, which is where you're throwing up constantly to the point that it's dangerous because you can't keep fluids or anything down, and lots of women are hospitalized, and I've seen quite a few cases like that, especially online, and heard a lot about that. Again, probably not enough. I don't think there is enough awareness, and I am really grateful that I've not experienced that level of throwing up. But just the feeling of nausea day in, day out is very debilitating, especially when you are busy. And obviously I'm promoting this as Multifaceted Mama because I have loads of things going on. I mentioned in the first episode, I'm studying a master's. I'm still acting and modelling when I can because that will always be a part of me. And to make some money. I'm tutoring in the week, so I am really, really busy. And lots of people have said to me, oh, like, you know, make sure you're resting, nap, you know, nap in the day when you can. Oh my God, I do not have time to nap. Like, that's not an option for me. I really wish it was. And I've made a few jokes where I've said, I just wish I could be at home, go to prenatal Pilates, go for a swim, watch Netflix all day and walk the dog. I'd absolutely love that, to be honest with you. Just because I felt so, so ill. But it is what it is. You just got to get up and keep plodding on. So I will go through some of my symptoms that I've been having. So obviously the first one being nausea, really, really intense from the moment I open my eyes in the morning until like bedtime, quite literally. And that can mean heaving all the time, occasionally throwing up a little bit, really sensitive to smells. So I'd get on the tube or the train in the morning and someone would open, I don't know, a sandwich or something, and I'd literally be gagging, which is quite an experience. And I actually got off the train the other day and was throwing up in a bush. I went and got a freshly squeezed apple juice from that Planet Organic place, cost me an arm and a leg, and I threw it up in a bush. So I was pretty annoyed. But more embarrassed because I thought, oh God, people are going to think I'm like hungover or something. I think it was like a Monday afternoon, so I doubt it. But it's horrendous. I've never felt sick for such a long period of time in my whole life. I've probably only thrown up a few times from being hungover or too drunk. So it's really intense. And then I think like the normal symptoms like sore breasts and loads of fatigue, which is actually quite funny because I come in and I'd be trying to eat dinner, heaving over my lovely dinner that my boyfriend would have cooked me. And then if I was able to eat, I'd literally take the last mouthful and be passed out on the sofa. It was like somebody had hypnotized me. It was so immediate. And this is at like 7-8 o'clock at night, which is very rare for me. I'm a bit of a night owl. So, and I think that's part and parcel of it. And it's something that I can kind of deal with. I'm not too fussed about the fatigue. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm knackered, but it's not like nausea or throwing up where it's hard to get on with your day. And then I'm experiencing a lot of shortness of breath. So being the like normal gym bunny that I am, I've not been able to gym, which I'm not beating myself up about. And it makes me laugh to think that years ago, and I used to say, oh, when I'm pregnant, I'm going to be the person that eats really healthy, gyms all throughout my pregnancy. Well, that can be further from the truth. I haven't stepped foot in a gym for a while. Actually, yesterday was my first time for a good few months. I attempted a short HIIT workout at home and it left me so breathless, so I just didn't continue. And I really think, I know this is so cliche, but you have to listen to your body. If you're feeling really breathless and out of it, then yeah, I don't think it's a good sign and you shouldn't push yourself and continue. And our bodies are going through so much, especially in the beginning. I was talking to the midwife and she said to me, don't beat yourself up. If you want to eat chips every day, which I do, eat them, like it's survival. And honestly, that's how I feel at this stage. It's basically about getting through the day, because you feel so rough. I briefly mentioned coffee, and yeah, well, that's not a concern for me anymore. Coffee has repulsed me now for 2 months. Even walking past coffee shops, the smell of it, I'm not a massive fan of, which is so crazy because if you know me, I'm a really big coffee drinker. So that's been really interesting to think that, yeah, I was probably drinking 2 cups a day, maybe more some days, and I can't touch the thing. But again, I think that's our bodies telling us or giving us signals of what we should and we shouldn't drink, because to be honest, coffee's not good for you in pregnancy anyway, or too much caffeine isn't good for you. Obviously everything in moderation. And I think you are allowed 1 latte a day or something like that in pregnancy. So it's nothing to stress about, but I've just not wanted it at all, which probably doesn't help when you're really fatigued and, you know, doing a master's and working and all the rest of it, because a little bit of caffeine would have probably given me the boost that I needed. But yeah, it's absolutely repulsing me, which is bizarre. I'm kind of off a lot of meat as well. It's the last thing I want to eat, but then vegetables is a struggle too. So you basically just want beige foods, and I think that is quite the norm. Just salt and vinegar chips or salt and vinegar crisps, oh my God, they've been my obsession. And I hate to say it, but I've drunk so much Coke Zero. My boyfriend's starting to get a bit humpy about it because he's like, you need to stop putting that in your body. But yeah, it is survival. I'm sorry. Like, if that's the thing that gets you through the day and helps you and prevents you from feeling like you're going to throw your guts up every second, then you do what you've got to do. One of the things as well that came with the nausea, which I didn't know if it was normal or not, and it was a little bit concerning, was it's like a real strong hunger pang. The only way I can describe it is feeling sick to your stomach. And no matter what I'd eat, I wouldn't feel full. And if I eat too much, I'm too full. So there's like a fine line. I think you're meant to eat frequent and often, small and frequent and often, not massive meals throughout the day. But from about week seven onwards, I'd wake up and immediately be like, I'm going to throw up. And it'd be like, you know when you've had a really large meal the night before and you wake up and you've got hunger pangs and it's like your glucose or your blood sugar levels dropping or something. I don't know. I'm not even going to attempt to explain what it is. But when that happens and you're really like, you feel like you're starving, it's like that 24 hours. So, so bizarre. And I'd have like a small meal and as soon as I'd stopped chewing, I'd have that same empty hunger sick feeling in the bottom of my stomach. And I have googled and I went on, you know, certain apps and looked at different Facebook groups of mums to see if anybody else had experienced it, and I didn't really find anyone that would describe it the same. But I thought it was worth me sharing it anyway, because if you are listening and you had that, or you know of people that do, it might just be something that you can be like, oh, I know someone else, or I've heard of someone else talk about that and it's normal. Because all of these things are just, not that I've been overly worried because I haven't, but yeah, you just like, what is this about? I've never heard of this before. Then you're googling, and obviously Google's not the way forward. And yeah, it's just hard, and I feel like there isn't enough awareness about being sick or sickness or feeling a type of way throughout the pregnancy. And I tried to talk to my midwife about it, and I know that they don't like to give out like medication or do anything for it unless you literally can't keep down liquids, and fortunately that hasn't been the case for me. So she was just like, yeah, it will go soon. And they said, I think it was like by when the placenta starts to take over in later stages, then you start to feel less sick. Can't remember what week it was now, but yeah, I'm just praying that it goes, because even this morning I've had to eat breakfast as soon as I've opened my eyes because I started to feel really sick again. Okay, and then the next thing I want to mention is the strong taste in my mouth. Now, lots of people are like, oh yeah, that's the metally like coin taste that you get, as if you're sucking on coins. And no, for me, it's not. It's, I cannot begin to try and explain it. It's the strongest taste I've ever tasted. It's like quite meaty, but quite herbal and really strong on my tongue. And I've scrubbed my tongue and I've tried to have mints like throughout the day, and obviously tried to eat different foods to see if I can like get rid of it. And it persists. Doesn't matter what I eat, it does make things taste quite horrible. So, and that's another thing as well that can make me throw up, and it has done a few mornings where I've woken up and that taste is so strong in my mouth it makes me heave, and then sometimes I am actually sick. So that's like quite interesting to experience. And then the other things to mention, just to spread a bit of awareness, is your boobs will probably start growing very quickly, and within a few weeks are like almost double the size as when you first started. And for some women, I know this is a blessing. For me personally, I don't like it at all. It's just such a weird experience. And someone recently said to me, it's like having your body taken over, isn't it? And I thought, yeah, it really is. It's like, it's very alien. It's all of these things happening and you can't really describe them and you don't know what's going on. And you're quite emotional as well. I think there's been a few days where I've sobbed so much, like hysterically in the early days, and didn't know why, couldn't really pinpoint why. It's just hormones, or put it down to hormones. But then I was a crybaby, literally, from about week 8 to week 12, just because I couldn't cope with feeling sick every day. So I'd literally just cry every day about it, which is rubbish for my boyfriend, poor thing. I've not been the best company, and yeah, I hate to say it because I'm normally like positive and upbeat, and I just have been a little bit negative. There's no point in sugarcoating it, and I've said it over and over. And we met up with friends a few days ago, and when I left, I thought, oh God, like, I don't want to sound like an old track record going on, and I don't want to scare people or put people off, because it is an incredible thing that's happening, obviously, and we are over the moon. I'm so excited, and I'm so ready to have a baby. And I know there's this whole thing about there's never a right time, but I am, and we are over the moon. But when people say, how are you doing, or, you know, really enjoy this time, I am trying. But when you feel that sick day in, day out, and you've got this disgusting taste in your mouth that makes everything taste like poo, to be quite frank, it's very difficult to be like, yeah, I'm loving it, I'm having a lovely time, this is amazing. It is very difficult. So there's no point in sugarcoating it. You might as well just tell people how it is and say, yeah, look, this is my experience and it's not the best, but hopefully it'll get better. It is a little bit of a fear of mine to come across like really negative on social and, you know, put people off. Like, I do not want that, because yeah, I want to make people feel better and feel good about themselves. But then I think that there is a lot to be said about somebody sharing true, authentic account of what's happening in their lives, instead of just posting, you know, happy family photos like, we're over the moon, we're pregnant. Yeah, great. But also talk about your sickness, talk about the shit days, let people know that they're not on their own. And that's what I really want to put across with this podcast and, yeah, with my Instagram account. But let's talk about the scan, because we've had our first scan, which was so exciting, little bit nerve-wracking, but yeah, really amazing experience. I actually booked an early scan at 6 weeks, and that was with Window to the Womb. I'll probably put that in the show notes, actually. And it was really local to us, really easy. The only thing was, where I'd booked it quite early, so I was, it wasn't 6 weeks, apologies, I was 8 weeks, I had to have an internal scan, which, yeah, I don't really need to go into detail, do I? It's not an over the belly, like jelly on the belly experience, it's a little bit more invasive, we shall say. So if you do want to book an early reassurance scan, then be aware that it could be internal. I didn't know until kind of last minute. I don't think it would have changed anything anyway, to be honest. I just wanted to know that everything was growing in the right place. Like, there was just one heartbeat and not two, because I don't know how I would have coped with having twins right now. And yeah, it just puts your mind at rest. So I think it's a really nice thing to do. And it made us really excited. We actually had our first private scan, which I paid for. I can't remember how much it was now, but it wasn't expensive. And you get printout photos, you get videos. And we decided to tell some of our family members after we had that scan, because I was feeling really nauseous and had all these other symptoms, it was really difficult to keep hiding, and we had lots of family things planned. So we decided to go and have that scan, make sure everything was okay up until that moment, so that we could like comfortably tell our family and friends, actually not friends, just our family. So we did, and yeah, I ordered some stuff off Etsy, and we did a little bit of an announcement, which was so emotional and so lovely. I have got some videos which I will share onto my Instagram account, Multifaceted Mama, so you'll be able to see people's reactions. But yeah, that was really, really lovely. And then we had our 12-week scan, which is obviously the scan that the NHS offer you. It was more like 13 weeks. Yeah, it was more towards 13 weeks at this point. And oh wow, it was incredible. The baby was moving around so much, and the sonographer actually said to us, your baby's really challenging. I think we were there in the actual scan for like 45 minutes because she couldn't fully scan it, because first of all, it was upside down. then it was like rolling around, hands in the air, hands over the face. Like, it was incredible to see on the screen. But it's quite difficult, actually, because I felt a little bit anxious at that stage, because you're just hoping that everything is okay. And they're doing all these measurements and taking all these photos of the scan. And at one point, because she couldn't scan the face, because you could just see like the back and the spine, she was prodding my lower stomach to try and get the baby to move. And it was really like quite intense prodding. And the baby did eventually move, thank God, because we were in there, yeah, a long while. But then they start taking like all these screenshots. And so we were both quite anxious. We were both just kind of, yeah, holding hands and looking at the screen, hoping that everything was going to be okay. And they don't really say much at that point, because I know that there's lots of things to take into consideration. They take all these measurements, they take photos, they look at your history, and then they give you rough statistics on if there are any abnormalities, or if they think there could be any abnormalities with the baby. So yeah, quite an experience, quite a anxious one, but also incredible to see your little baby, tiny little thing on the screen moving around, and ours was literally doing somersaults and stretching. So we were told to wait downstairs while they like gathered all the results and worked out the stats, and then they called us back up and sat us in a room, and my heart was in my throat, because you're just waiting to hear what those statistics are, and it never really is 100%, but our stats were really good, in the sense that we've got a very slim chance of having a baby with anything wrong with it. So yeah, it's amazing. We literally left hugging and we were over the moon. It's such a relief to go to that scan, be told that everything looks okay, the stats are really good, you kind of rest assured that everything's good and your baby's healthy. My due date, I've been told, is a little bit earlier than previously expected, which is, yeah, that's interesting as well, because it was only a few days out, but the baby's actually meant to be coming about 4 days earlier than we were previously told, and that's based on like what the baby measures. So I really don't understand that, because I'm like, well, if we conceived on this day and I've been pregnant this long, then surely the date should be this. But yeah, apparently based on how big the baby is, when they measure it is when they can give you a real estimate of the due date. But I've been told, or I know you're told so many things when you're pregnant, and there's so many myths. Oh my God, so many myths, especially around gender, but we'll get onto that. But I've been told that when it's your first baby, normally the baby's quite late. So even though we're expecting the baby at the end of May, everyone's been saying, oh, I bet it comes in June. So I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I hope I'm not pregnant for an extra 2 weeks, because that could be quite uncomfortable. But yes, we'll see. It's all very exciting. Let's talk gender. I'm still debating whether to have a early gender scan. My boyfriend is really impatient and wants to know as soon as physically possible. So I think he's swaying towards, yeah, an early gender scan. But I want to do the whole gender reveal. I don't want to have a massive party. I feel like that's a bit over the top. And yeah, it's almost Christmas and there's too much going on. So we won't do that. But I do want to, I want to get them to put it in an envelope and then put it into like a balloon or something. And then I can pop it. I know it's so all for the gram, isn't it? But I just think it'll be quite a nice video to have to then show our baby when they're a bit older. To be fair, the baby was crossing its legs and upside down and all the rest of it, and was really difficult to see. And she was like, this is just a guess based on a measurement, but I would say girl. So we're thinking, well, yeah, we've got it in our heads that it's a girl now, and we're referring to the baby as her a lot. So it'll be quite a shock if it is a boy. But either way, lots of people ask, don't they, like, what would you prefer? And actually, honestly, I know this is like the typical thing to say, because most parents do just say this, but as long as that baby is healthy, I don't mind. I really don't mind. I've like sold myself on the fact that I'm having a girl now, because it's kind of been said. But the whole time up until the 12-week scan, I was convinced I was having a boy. And then it's really funny, because of the whole sickness thing, I've had loads of people say, oh, you're definitely having a girl because you're mainly sick with girls. But actually, if you look at the Duchess of Cambridge, she would have had hyperemesis gravidarum. So I don't really think it's actually that accurate. And I think it's all myths just like the thing where they say, if you're carrying like this, it's a girl, if you're carrying like this, it's a boy. I think that's all a myth as well. And another thing that I think is a myth is this pregnancy glow that everyone talks about. I'm still waiting for that pregnancy glow. I'm praying it comes at 16 weeks, because that's another thing that I've been told. Just wait, it's around the 16 week mark. Okay, well, I'm 14 and a half. So if at 16 weeks, I don't spring out of bed glowing, literally like a glowworm, then I'm going to be pretty annoyed. Do subscribe and keep listening so you can find out if I am glowing like a glowworm. You don't want to miss out on that, let's be honest. And yeah, I'm going to leave it there for today, guys, because I've got essays to write, books to read. Yeah, it's all fun and games this end. And all I want to do is read pregnancy books and parenting books, which, by the way, I'm very open to recommendations. I'm not going to be that textbook parent or textbook mum, but I'm actually going on holiday very soon, so I want a few good recommendations of books that I can take away with me. I've heard about the book you wish your parents had read, and yeah, that's on my to buy list. And also I got a book recommended to me about hypnobirthing, which is something I'm very interested in. So yeah, please do send over your recommendations if you do have any. You can either comment them on my page or DM me directly at Multifaceted Mama. Subscribe to the podcast, keep listening, and I'll talk to you soon.